You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
I can't tell you how much I love the dean, and we just met. You ever meet somebody that when you meet them, you know that from then on you're going to be friends? I'm a cynical old preacher, and I have to see the real deal every once in a while just to do what I do. And your dean is the real deal, and you're very fortunate. For those of you who have only heard me on the radio, I have one thing to say. I'm so sorry. God, my voice is a lot better than yours. God gave me this wonderful voice, and he put it in a body like this. And he thought it was funny. I have never forgiven God for that particular thing. I'm so glad you're here. Lent is a time of reflection and repentance. And we live in a culture where neither of those things happen very often, but you're here. And God will bless that. This is the direction we're going in. Today will be kind of uncomfortable. I'm going to talk about the bad news of Lent. And then tomorrow I'm going to talk about the good news of Lent. And then on Wednesday I'm going to talk about the really good news of Lent. Our text is from one of the most amazing passages of scripture in the Bible, the 7th chapter of Romans. And before I read a little bit to that to you, Paul is giving a confession. I've taught seminary students how to preach for a lot of years, longer than some of you have been alive. And I've given them a grade based on how often I say, I don't believe I would have said that. When I read the 7th chapter of Romans, I want to say to the Apostle Paul, I don't believe I would have said that. But he did. And there are some Christians who say that the 7th chapter in general and the confession of the Apostle Paul in particular is a reference to his past, the testimony of the way he used to be. Just so you know, the last time I checked, God could conjugate verbs very well. And if this had been the past, it would have referenced the past. Paul is talking about the present. He's talking about the ongoing experience of every Christian. Now, I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but I'm going to start at the 15th verse and read two or three verses, and then skip to the end of the chapter, which is a verse of repentance from the Apostle Paul. This is what the Apostle Paul, the writer of much of the New Testament, the first Christian missionary, the one who was used by God in an amazing way to establish the church, that same man says as follows, "For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but the very thing that I hate." The good that I want to do, I do not do, and the evil I don't want to do, is exactly what I do. And then at the end of the chapter, and he points to Christ, obviously, the Apostle Paul cries out with these words, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" The bad news of Lent. And by the way, you're very fortunate to have me. It's obviously not because I'm so smart, and it's not because I'm so good looking. It's because I'm so old. And when you're old, you don't give a rip. If you want to know the truth, don't ask somebody young. Ask somebody old who doesn't care. And I'm as old as dirt, and so I'm going to tell you the truth during this Lenten service. I have 2 points. They're simple, but they're profound. I'm going to tell you what they are, and if you want to take a nap, you can feel free to do so. The first point is, you're a lot worse than you think you are. And the second point is, you can't fix it. All right, the first point. You're a lot worse than you think you are. My late friend Jack Miller, who taught at Westminster Seminary, where I taught for a long time, his wife is almost 100 years old and serving as a missionary in England. The family is close, and I love them more than I can tell you. And Jack taught me more than I can tell you also. He said the whole Christian faith can be summed up in 2 sentences. First, cheer up. You're a lot worse than you think you are. And secondly, cheer up. God's grace is a lot bigger than you think it is. It is. My late mentor, Fred Smith, would often ask men, if you were arrested on Saturday night for drunken driving, would you be in church on Sunday morning? And I've seen them whiff and waff and say, I don't think so. I think, Fred, I'd let it settle down just a little bit before I went back to church. And Fred would laugh and say, you know, that's really dumb. It's like when you have an automobile accident and you have broken ribs and you're sitting there on the side of the street and they come. By the way, did you hear about the man who had an automobile accident? And before that, his wife had divorced him. And his children had disowned him. And he looked up in the sky with this blood everywhere and said, God, why me? And a voice from heaven said, I don't know, Sam, there's just something about you that ticks me off. And Fred said, you're sitting there and they come from the hospital and you say, don't take me to the hospital, let me go home and clean up. And when all this blood is clean and I have a shirt that is nice and I look better, then I'll come to the hospital. Do you know what the church is? It's a bunch of ragamuffins. Martin Luther said the central fact of our faith is that we are great sinners and we have a great Savior. And so when you join the church, you announce to the world that you're unqualified. It's the only organization in the world where, in order to join, you have to be unqualified and you have to stay there. I don't know if you've ever read Albert Camus, the French existentialist. He's my hero. He was close to being a Christian when he was killed in the 60s another month, he would have made it. But if you've ever read The Fall about Jean Baptiste Clement, he walked away from a woman who was drowning in a river and nobody saw it. And The Fall is a book as he deals with who he really is. We're a lot worse than we think we are. You don't fool me. I've been doing this forever. And everybody in this sanctuary has a secret. And if you were forced to tell everybody else, you would leave in embarrassment. Second point, you can't fix it. I've tried. Paul couldn't fix it either. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I've been doing this a long time, and frankly, I thought I would be better than this by now. I really did. When I was a young pastor, I looked up to my heroes, and I thought, if I can get just a little bit like them, I'm going to read the Word, I'm going to learn how to teach it, I'm going to pray a lot, I'm going to become a contemplative, and you know what happened? I got worse. I'm not proud of that, because I tried. I'm the most religious person here. All I do is write religious books and do religious broadcasts and preach religious sermons and teach religious students how to be more religious. And I can't pull it off. And oh God, I've tried. And I finally said, I can't do this anymore. I just can't. And God said, I started to say, he said, thank God, but he never says that. God said, I'm so glad. Now you get it. And that's how I became a spiritual giant. And if you believe that, you'll believe anything. I was in Pittsburgh a number of years ago. A doctor, a missionary, was there, and he was sitting on the front row and turning his head, listening to me. When it was over, he came up and he said, Dr. Brown, I've been listening to missionaries and preachers and priests say they were sinners my whole life, and you're the first one I ever believed. So you're worse than you think you are, and you can't fix it. And the sooner you get it, the better Lent will be. Just a little bit of good news, and then I'm finished. Michael Kelly Blanchard is a good friend of mine. He's maybe one of the best lyricists in America. And he writes Christian as well as not Christian music. He wrote that song about sin. Every debt that you've ever had is paid up in full. Be glad, be glad. And he writes songs with stories. And he told me the story of a particular song that I liked, where a young lady who was a party girl, her father and mother were in an automobile accident and her mother died in it. And her father, perhaps because of guilt, became her adversary and eventually kicked her out of the house, and she went to live with her grandmother. She, as I said, was a party girl. She had an abortion. She was drunk a lot. And she worked at the local factory. And there was a man there with a big black Bible, and he told her that God was going to judge her. And she knew that she, more than anybody else she knew, deserved it. But there's a chorus in that song that Michael sings over and over again. And if you'll listen, it'll haunt you. In her grandmother's house, in the bedroom where she stays, there's a picture of Jesus hanging there. And the chorus goes this way. And there's a picture of Jesus hanging on the wall. And it's been there since I was very small. And he looks like he just seen a little girl fall. And he don't look angry at all. He don't look angry at all. When you can't fix it, go to him. It won't be a surprise. And he'll welcome you no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter who you've hurt, no matter what you smoked. He's not angry at you. You think about that. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.